Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, we love you. You're our true people. We love you, Dublin. We love Ireland. It's one of our favorite homes. It's my tax home. We've got a new single out. It's called Tonight. That's right.
That's right. That's right. I agree with Bono.
Thank you. Thank you, Edge. Thank you. Thank you, Edge. Thank you. You know, the idea came to us when we were out shopping for bandanas and driving nails in a tree of pain. Pain. Oh, pain. Some songs, they come from the higher place. Some songs, they come from the other place. And some songs, they come from the Garden of Gethsemane.
Welcome to Free State, everyone. How's it going, Joe?
I'm having fun.
We're full already. Let's see how long that lasts. I was minding my...
What did you text me the other day when the news came out about the...
I was minding my own business the other day.
The meat cappers.
You know, I was minding my own business and I, you know, looked on Twitter. And next thing I see that, you know, Kneecap and Mr. Joe Brawley are suing the UK government and Kemi Badenoch for withdrawing their funding.
Lovely woman.
Culture warrior, one of Britain's finest culture warriors. And I was like, what world have I... Suddenly I felt like Marcus Brody in Indiana Jones of The Last Crusade when he says, you know, Marcus, he'll blend in, you won't spot him anywhere. And it cuts to Denham Elliott walking along. Does anyone here speak ancient Greek? This is how I feel when I've entered the world of Kneecap and Joe Brawley. But it's a very interesting case. I know you can't talk a lot about it, but it is really interesting. This is the decision of the Business and Trade Secretary Kemi Badenoch to withdraw funding to Kneecap with the quote that we fully support freedom of speech, but it's hardly surprising that we don't want to hand out UK taxpayers' money to people that oppose the United Kingdom itself. And this was the funding they had got. 15
including all of the Republican and Nationalist taxpayers.
Well, I would say. It also includes it includes people in Scotland who want Scottish independence. It includes I read a great interview with the Welsh actor Michael Sheen the other day, who has moved back to Wales, is now living in Wales, and is not just talking about independence. That's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about Welsh culture. I would say he would he is one of the great actors of Britain, and I'd say he would oppose some of the United Kingdom as defined by Kemi Badenoch. And this is a £15,000 grant that is handed over.
Well, no, it's more than that. Look, I'm afraid that all of the fun and games are going to have to be played out in the High Court and the Divisional Court, because I'm not able to comment on the case.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say I will not be in court. So I can say, if I
can, you can chat away with yourself.
Finally, I can talk. But you know, I can get the floor here. But what I will say is that again, this is like,
let's see what you're made of. Go out on your own. See how long you last out there in that cruel world.
It's a cruel world out here.
Have a go at it if you've got the balls.
It's a cruel world out here, Joe.
You'll be back knocking down my door in 6 weeks. And take your stuff with you.
I love you, Joe Brawley. I love you.
You free state bastard.
I think this is extraordinary. This is really extraordinary because it's without getting incredibly pretentious or pompous, this is against everything that art should be about, whatever it is about. And I think even the people who are responsible for these grants have said this. You know, it's an extraordinary. Yes. And now again, we know how debased this Tory government is. We know where they are going and how desperate they are and how pathetic they are in so many ways. And Badenoch is positioning herself for the next wave, you know, it's funny, there was an article by Patrick.
It's also their contempt. It's also, I think, you know, without sort of getting into the legalities of it, it's the contempt that they have.
I got about 2 minutes there, did I?
I mean, we are sort of the shit under their shoe, you know. I suppose, you know, Kemi, Micheál Martin, etc. You know, have a lot in common in that regard.
I can't talk about it.
The shenanigans will be had out.
But it is an extraordinary. What I will say about it as well is that it is an extraordinary, short-sighted, and counterproductive action from the British government, because one of the things, and I was just mentioning it, there was a piece in the Irish Times a couple of weeks ago by Patrick Frayne about the creative boom in Ireland and how Ireland has got huge cultural soft power now. And a lot of that comes from Arts Council grants, Film Board grants, things that have actually energized artists in Ireland. And this is an essential thing. And one of the greatest examples of this, and this, we will move on from this, but one of the greatest example of this is the GI Bill that came in America after World War II, which sent veterans to university, and it sent all these veterans who had fought in World War II to university, and they were able to get a university education. And it educated people like Kurt Vonnegut, Sol Bellow, Norman Mailer. All these people went to university, and Kurt Vonnegut famously said, "I would have been myself and Sol Bellow would have been washing machine salesmen if it wasn't for the GI Bill." And now that was a broader thing, but it brought these people into education and funding arts and giving this platform to people is an essential part of civilized nations. And again, when you talk about what Britain is becoming, you see actions like this from Kemi Badenoch. And there,
if there's such a thing anymore, you know, I mean, you may very well think all of that. I couldn't possibly comment, but I can comment on the grander theme, which is, you know, we look at the vast and growing disconnect between what the governing classes are doing and what people themselves believe in, you know, the ideals of justice and fairness and equality and all of those things. And then we look now at how the elite are capturing the world. And, you know, I was particularly taken in that regard by Bono. And I've been thinking a lot about Bono, about his songs, his heartfelt songs on behalf of the people who were murdered by Hamas on the 7th of October. And the way he has, you know, very strongly reached out to Israel. And, you know, his performance recently, where he altered the words of one of U2's, you know, iconic songs to pay tribute to the hundreds of beautiful kids killed at the Supernova Museum.
Well, that was just straight after that, wasn't it? It was on October the 8th or October the 9th.
Yeah, it was at Sphere, and he, in light of what's happened, a song about non-violence seems somewhat ridiculous. And he's a parable, you know, a symbol of everything that's wrong in the world, you know. Leo Tolstoy said, you know, I sit on a man's back choking him and making him carry me, yet I assure myself and others that I am sorry for him and wish to lighten his load, except by getting off his back. And Bono is truly a cardinal in the new religion of false philanthropy and the protection of elite interests. I mean, he was interviewed in the Las Vegas Journal Review, and what he said in that, you know, tells you everything you want to know about, and I mean this sincerely, about what is wrong with the world. You know, I ended up, he said, as an activist in a very different place from where I started. I thought that if we just redistributed resources, we could solve every problem. I know now that that's not true. The way out of extreme poverty, it's commerce. It's entrepreneurial capitalism. And, you know, not taxation, not, you know, any of the hard work of politics and activism, you know, trade union rights, you know, fair wages, properly resourced public services, proper inheritance tax. No. Entrepreneurial capitalism. And the reason that Bono stands by Israel and never mentions the genocide in Gaza is because the vested interests, the Bill Clintons, the Tony Blairs, you know, the big corporations, they do not want to hear that. You know, that excludes you. That excludes you from that elite charade that's now running the world, you know.
And well, I think, yeah, when you say he's a symbol of everything that's gone wrong, and I knew we were going to talk about,
he is,
about,
yeah,
Bono,
he
here.
And he's worth $750 million now.
You know,
he's located elsewhere for tax affairs. Taxation's off the menu.
Of all the things, in of this all world, the things you, of all
two,
the
th- I think there are two.
Of all the things you've done to me that put me in a position to actually defend, make a case for Bono is...
I knew you would. But, you know, the thing with people like Bono, right, you know, they join with the winners. You know, don't criticize the elites. Don't criticize America. Don't criticize the big corporations. Otherwise, you will be excluded from that elite level of capitalism. You will not get your 25-night residency in one of the biggest casinos, music venues in Las Vegas, you know. And as a result of that, you know, Bono goes to the elite networking forums, you know, Davos, Aspen, the Clinton Global Initiative. He's invited because his worldview does not threaten them. You know, he's on the Late Late Show every year because his worldview does not threaten the establishment. You know, he applauds them as winners. You know, he applauds the status quo. And then what people like himself and Bob Geldof have done. And I mean this very seriously. I think it's a really serious conversation that goes to the heart of the biggest problem facing humanity now, you know. And this problem is the springboard that is holding back work on climate change, fossil fuels, inequality, you know, the massive problems of our age. And what they do, these people, is that they engage in this showy philanthropy, you know, improves their image, helps to stifle criticism. And really, it's just self-preservation, you know. I mean, I noticed recently that recruits for Morgan Stanley, you know, who've done huge damage all over the world, are told that working for Morgan Stanley is, quote, giving millions of people a shot at a better life. You know, and what these elites are doing is they want to shape things to keep taxation, inheritance tax, redistribution, equality of opportunity, union laws, regulation of business, all off the table. You know, and what we're seeing now at the moment with our brightest and best university recruits, they're being brainwashed away from ideas of social justice. You know, you notice when I go in the Gaza marches, you know, it's all the working class people. It's all the people, you know, on the margins socially, the people who are involved with charities. You know, the well-dressed, you know, the bankers, the financial sector, all of this is embarrassing, you know, because what we've seen is real solutions being suppressed. You know, how can the world be saved now? Okay. And the answer to that is if you're part of the elites, as Bono has, he's just, you know, repeating the same lines as Tony Blair or as Bill Clinton at his global initiatives. If you want to change the world, invent an app.
Now, the thing,
don't be Nelson Mandela or a Bernadette Devlin or a Martin Luther King. Now, of course, you know, we'll pour false sugary praise on Martin Luther King, you know, or a Martin McGuinness. Invent an app, you know, or a way of making hundreds of millions from cheap labor that you don't employ and have no responsibilities for. You know, Uber, Apple, Google, Amazon, you know. And these people are now being presented as the liberators of mankind. I mean, Elon Musk is almost painted as a heroic figure instead of a guy who recently tried to get a $55 billion pay package, which was rejected by the court. And he was reportedly furious. He was so furious, he was slamming doors and shouting, "Bullshit, what is this crap?" Because Elon, instead of paying his workers properly, instead of proper redistribution of wealth, instead of proper taxation, he's now in Texas, where he doesn't pay personal taxes. He wants to go to the moon. And that's what's going to liberate mankind.
The thing I would say about that, and I think to bring Bono and Morgan Stanley together, I'm not sure really what the connection is there, because I think one of the things, and I
he's a sidekick of the wealthy and the powerful. He's worth almost €1 billion himself, you know. And what he does is he never ever accuses the wealthy of being part of the problem. Never ever criticizes them. Tony Blair, in an interview in the Irish Independent in 2010, said, and you know, Tony is the great, you know, he's the great charlatan. He said Bono could have been the president or prime minister standing on his head. Imagine. And Bono in turn said, he said that Gordon Brown and Tony Blair were the, quote, Lenin and McCartney of international development after the invasion of Iraq. Hold on. And the destruction of over 1 million lives. You know, and there is a very clear link between what he hawks around and what's happening to the world.
But what is, look, hold on a second, Joe.
Have you tried to read his autobiography, which is really just a marketing tool to try and sell his albums again? It's all the Dalai Lama and Ali and the night I passed out on Frank Sinatra's white sofa and the name dropping. I mean, Condoleezza Rice, Steve Jobs, Nelson Mandela, all written. The Kennedys, George Soros, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Lady Diana, of course, you got to get the sugar in. You know, Rupert Murdoch, Oprah Winfrey, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates, of course, and the Pope. He even drops names in his dreams. He describes in the book a vivid encounter with the ghost of Martin Luther King. And I'll tell you why he's important as a linchpin in all of this. Because he's a big symbol in places outside Ireland of this sort of neoliberalism. In 2022, he was invited to make a speech, an address in Washington. And he went there in front of the elites. And you know, it's all this gobbledygook. I mean, I cannot tell you how allergic I am to him, not because of him himself, but because of what he represents, you know. The avoidance of taxation, you know, the preaching of this neoliberal con, which it is a con, you know, which leaves people and increasingly unable to pay rent in poorly paid jobs, scraping by, you know, in a permanent state of near poverty. But he went to America anyway and he said, in 2022, America might be the greatest song the world has yet to hear. Bullshit, 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 you know. And of course, what he did there was this was what the Americans were doing and what they wanted. He praised Ukraine to the hilt and President Zelensky. I call on all of us musicians, athletes, businessmen, politicians, everybody really, to stand up for Ukraine. And we'll come back to the athletes and the Irish ladies basketball team. As a musician, let me not apologize from where I come from. And then, the gobbledygook that all his songs, I come from noise and the intent to find some signal in that noise, from informality, from occasional dishevelment. I come from rock and roll. You know, it's the horror, the crash, bang, wallop. This is beats, the cry of a soul setting itself on fire. Rock and roll is the sound of liberation. And liberation is, there you are, one of the great liberators, is at the core of who I am. Not just as a singer, but as a European. It's also at the core of who you are as Americans. You might swap out the word freedom for the word liberation. And when we hear President Zelensky speaking, or you look at the humbling heroism of the people of Kyiv or Lviv or Mariupol, there's a part of me that feels they are more European than me. Is there not a part of you that feels they're more American than you? Why? Because they're actually living, actually dying for the ideal that is freedom. They're fighting for our freedom too. Now, we haven't been asked to face that test yet. I should be thankful for that. Not embarrassed, but somehow I'm both. Maybe you are too. That's Bono on Ukraine.
Well,
and why is he saying all those things?
Well, what's wrong with him speaking up for Ukraine when they were invaded by Putin's Russia, when Putin even again this week? And
is he not spoken up for?
That's fine. We'll come to that.
Mass murder in Gaza. Well,
yeah. Look,
Why has he not said anything about that?
I've looked and it doesn't seem like he said anything. Like, people are pretty certain online that he said something.
Are you kidding me? You want to be part of the Davos elite? You want to do what he does, you know, be in easy terms with Bill Clinton and all these people, be invited, you know, the huge sums of money that are paid to you too, which the taxpayer here doesn't see and which don't go to
just speak clear on what his, I think they moved their publishing company to the Netherlands. It's not the entirety of their tax. It's their publishing company. They moved to the Netherlands. Yeah. Bono has said that he pays plenty of tax. And to clarify that. But the one thing I will say, Joe,
that's my objection. Yeah, no, so that. he's described as Ireland's most famous rock star. And yet he would say a fucking word about the grotesqueness and the dehumanizing and, you know, the perverse, you know, pretense that somehow there's a world order with law and order and that countries must obey that. You know, no, America's the greatest country in the world, you know, and my heart breaks for the children of Israel, those stars of David, you know, because, as he told a subcommittee of the American Senate the year before last, my identity is as an artist / activist / investor. You might say I'm flying a hot air balloon over some very interesting terrain. I would say he is a hot air balloon, but a dangerous one, you know, with all this pseudo-intellectual mumbo-jumbo, all this pretense, this false philanthropy, which I'll come back to. I mean, this is the guy, right? Who loathed Northern Nationalists, loathed us, our community, hadn't a good word to say about us, you know, during the resistance against the oppression.
Hold on a second. He managed, bear with me.
There's loads of that. You know, loathed Gerry Adams and Sinn Féin, you know, loathed an entire community in the North, but who managed to fucking squeeze himself between Lord Trimble and John Hume. You know, at the concert prior to the referendum on the Good Friday Agreement, and then modestly took credit for the peace process. How I helped bring peace to Northern Ireland.
When did he say that?
You read that, Ed? That's April the 12th. Oh, no, sorry, that's an interview in the New York Times on April the 12th.
No, I don't think, he loathed the violence of the provisional IRA, to say he loathed it.
He doesn't loathe the violence of Israel, funny.
Well, yeah. No, look, I've looked. You know, unless Bono, unless whatever he said, whatever, unless
people.
He said something about Gaza and it hasn't been reported anywhere, like it is, you know,
he won't say anything about Gaza because that will exclude him from.
But the one thing I'm going to say about him, right?
John Hume's daughter said whenever she saw him on stage with those two, she said it was cringeworthy. Mo said it was cringeworthy.
Look, nobody is going to make a case that.
And his song Bloody Sunday reminds me of Alan Partridge's skit, you know. Oh, it reminds me of another bloody boring Sunday, you know.
Nobody's going to make it's going to be very hard for anyone to make a claim that Bono isn't ridiculous and preposterous. The one thing I would say about, I think,
Joe, more than that, he's dangerous.
Okay, let me just say what I feel has happened to him in some ways, in that he found himself in a position where he suddenly saw, and I agree, through ego, through everything else like that, but he also found himself in a way of he felt he could actually get things done, and he got himself into these positions. And one of the things he did get done was, again, by befriending George W. Bush, he got a massive AIDS relief program. He persuaded George Bush to set up an emergency plan for AIDS, which is almost universally recognized as having saved, having saved millions of lives. Okay, that is something that is acknowledged by plenty of people.
As long as it doesn't involve any pay for, as long as he's not having to dig into his fortune.
Well, that's a different thing.
This is the problem. Africa, the starvation in Africa is completely out of control. It's completely out of control. People all over Africa are starving. These feel-good initiatives like Band-Aid and all of that, that gather a few quid, throw a few scraps at the blacks out there, and we'll feel good about that. But do not ask us to make any sacrifices. Don't ask us to make any sacrifices on taxation. We are the winners, right? I mean, Andrew Carnegie, who sort of invented the whole idea of false philanthropy and the billionaires, he said, look, I'm not going to pay workers well, and I can't be sentimental about how many hours of work I give them. But I'm going to give back to the workers. I'm going to finance libraries, museums, and other public amenities for the eventual pleasure and edification of my underpaid workers. And thus, the problem of rich and poor is solved. The laws of accumulation will be left free. The laws of distribution free. Individualism will continue, but the millionaire will be a trustee for the poor, entrusted with the increased wealth of the community, but administering it for the community far better than it could itself or than any government could.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And, that sums up this charade. And that's what it is. It's a charade of philanthropy. It's a way of doing good that allows people like Bono to ignore, because he knows the fact that democracies are not working well. Avoid the duty.
I think you're really.
Bear with me. Instead of helping, throwing those millions behind the problems facing his own communities, which might, of course, then put a focus on him, a real focus, instead of saying, I've helped with this, and I'm sitting with Clinton, and I'm sitting here, and I'm persuading them to give money to Africa for AIDS, et cetera, et cetera. These universal challenges like climate change or the wounds of faraway places, It's easy to make people feel good by being seen to do something about that.
You see, I think...
But it avoids, but it's I'll tell you what it is. It's the moral cover for being a... Yeah. It's a pleasant fantasy that avoids interacting with the real problems that we have. You know, him and his pals are entrepreneurial humanitarians. They're here to free mankind. You know, and don't be asking any questions about his tax. He was asked about that in a magazine interview recently. And he said, just let me give you his answer. He was asked about his taxation. And he said, you know, it was just when he'd finished, it was an interview. Hold on. Just let me see if I can find when he said, no, I'll have to pick up on it later. But it was something like, you know, that's a matter for my business managers, etc. You know, I don't, you know, I don't.
Well, he has said that, you know, they run their business, you know, there's no, he doesn't see any contradiction between running their business on along sound business lines and being an activist. Now, he's been criticized in Ireland and elsewhere for that in a lot of places. One thing I would say, Joe, is that, you know, there's a difference between being...
It's a wider problem. It's a massive problem.
Hold on a second. Let me speak. There's a difference between being a philanthropist in business and being an activist, a rock star activist. Nobody expects, like, you know, companies like Morgan Stanley, all these people, they are going to be interrogated by what they do, especially these days, about sustainability and how they give something back to the community. Rock stars, nobody expects anything of a rock star. Nobody's saying to Mick Jagger, what are you doing? Where are your great works? Where are you doing that?
Bono has put himself out there as a savior, as a great liberator. And that's how he presents himself and how he talks about himself in his autobiography.
I've just lived a life of a great rock star and
make more money this way.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
He's there now doing his residency in Las Vegas. You know, you're not going to be there. You're not going to have the keys to vast amounts of money like he has now, you know, and the friends that he has, and making fortunes from the sale of Forbes, you know, and buying and wheeling and dealing in hotels, etc. You know, unless you're in that inner circle of elites and they accept you. And that means turning your face away from slave wages, outsourcing, 0 hours, poverty level social safety nets, understaffing of hospitals, skyrocketing rents that have created a permanent underclass of people. What it means is support the status quo, you know, and look, there's a lot of popular rage out there. How do we stop that turning into activism? Well, the solution to that is showy philanthropy. Look, we're doing this. And then people like you say, but Marion Furness, you know, look, he helped out with that AIDS initiative of Clinton and the lads. And, you know, and what that does is it destroys real political and social activism with phony solutions.
Well, that was an actual solution. That wasn't a phony solution. And like, you know, there's always a strain of activism which says that unless everything is done in an exact way, like compromise again is seen as a betrayal. And if anything is done that hints at compromise, it is a betrayal. And ultimately, you know, that activism is great, but you can argue quite persuasively that how much does that actually get done? It makes people feel, it's the exact opposite of what you're talking about, and it makes people feel very, very pure all the time, that they have taken the pure line and they have remained pure to their principles and they haven't compromised in any way and they haven't betrayed themselves and they haven't done anything that makes themselves feel dirty, but actually they've achieved nothing. So there are real achievements there as well.
That's the activism is pointless.
No, it's not the activism
that's
is pointless.
The civil rights movements are pointless. Look at the little people in these small journals making fools of themselves, you know, working for virtually nothing, you know, while the mainstream media creates this narrative which is entirely supportive of the political classes and of the elites. You know, where we see in just a small example over the weekend, that child who was murdered by the Israeli Defense Forces in her car, she had rung to say, look, they've surrounded us. Her family had already all been killed. She was still alive. An ambulance was dispatched by the Palestinian Red Crescent, and the IDF then murdered the ambulance men, the two ambulance men, and then the child was found murdered. And all of the mainstream Western media, the BBC, RTE, CNN, The Guardian, all described it in this way.
Palestinian child found dead after 4 days.
Mm. I know.
And that's why this is important. That's why someone like Bono, who's going out there and presenting a view of Ireland to the world that only exists in Bono's brand, in Bono's sort of brand portfolio, you know, is hateful and dangerous. And you know, someone influential like that who does have all of these friends, you know, imagine if he had some integrity.
Well, no, I think it would be a huge thing if he was to do, and I understand why he spoke when he did on October 8th or October 9th. I understand that completely. And it would be a huge thing if he could come out and say something similar. And say something about what's happening in Gaza and what is continuing to happen. It would be...
Well, don't forget he's a humanitarian, as he describes himself, / entrepreneur, / activist. What he actually said in his autobiography about his tax position was that you too is a business that has to be run on business principles, including tax efficiency. That was it. But I mean, he's not going to be into that. I mean, he has just recently pocketed tens of millions from a business deal with an Israeli bank. It was all set out by David Cronin, the journalist in the Electronic Intifada. Rights and accountability. And it's Bank Leumi, which is one of the banks that's backing the Israeli military, you know, and their undoubted war crimes. And they issued a major loan for the purchase of Bono and the Edge's hotel. I mean, who's called the Edge? Jesus Christ almighty, they're my fucking
rock stars, Joe.
And that was $45 million, you know, at a time when the death toll in Gaza was just going completely out of control and becoming something devilish that we don't even have a vocabulary to describe what's going on there. You know, and there he is preaching about non-violence in the north and preaching at us and preaching about peace, you know, and there he is now tangled up with the bank, profiting from Israel's violations of international law. And I see a big problem with that, you know, because he is a very, very big figure. You know, and the music might be shit, obviously it is. But Bank Leumi is listed in the United Nations database of firms profiting from Israel's colonization of Palestinian land. And it has financed, quote, a large number of, this is the United Nations, a large number of projects and settlements which Israel is building in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem. And under the Fourth Geneva Convention, the construction and expansion of these settlements amounts to war crimes.
Hmm.
Bono going to write a wee song about that, maybe. You know,
I found troubled waters. This is for all the lovely children.
There's no money in that for him, you know. And I'm not surprised he's saying, you know, last year, oh, I've ended up as an activist in a very different place from where I started. Well, you know, I think he was always a...
Our prayers have always been for peace and for non-violence, so... But our hearts... And our anger, you know where that's pointed. So sing with us. And those beautiful kids at that music festival. Early morning, October 7th, as the sun is rising in the desert sky, stars of David, they took your life, but they could not take your pride. Could not take your pride. Could not take your pride.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.